This is the Pomp and Pony Podcast, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Here's Bob Pompieni from KDKA-TV and Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan.
All right, it's another edition of the Pomp and Pony Podcast. Bob Pompieni, Andrew Filippone, and we are here. We have lots of vowels thrown at you.
Vows, like wedding vows or vowels?
Well, vowels. Do I have to be...
By the way, congratulations.
Syracuse man corrects me on my enunciation. I'm sorry.
Congratulations on Selena's wedding.
It was unbelievable.
Before we get into the game, I want to know from you, how did the choreographed dance moves go over?
Really well. I mean, surprisingly, because I was, I'm really a freestyle guy. I'm okay. Alcuminant, Andrew, you know, because I've had open heart surgery because of a leaky valve. I have more bruises on my body that I have no accountability. I have no idea where they came from. I can only assume I was playing bumper cars on the dance floor. But the choreographed one, my biggest concern was I had a couple of Cabernets, you know, I was feeling good, and I thought I'd maybe miss a few steps. Mm-hmm. Instead, my adrenaline was at an all-time high. I was pumped. I was ready to go, and we delivered. You'll see the picture in the video when it comes out.
Was it one song, or was it a remix? Was it a bunch of songs spliced together?
Selena had put together a whole bunch of songs.
And you guys practiced a few times beforehand. Mm-hmm.
You
took over those Point Park Ballet Studios? Is that what you guys did?
No, we took over my back patio and we did it outside. And it had a lot of interesting different kind of twists in it.
All right, how about the speech? How about you get up there and you got to talk to her and your new son-in-law and that entire... Now, there's the difference between looking into a camera and then having a situation like that. Those are two different speaking.
And also,
situations.
You're talking about somebody close to you, your whole, you know,
right.
And I remember. So when Chelsea got married, my other daughter, back in 2019, I had a problem getting through it. I did. I just, for whatever reason, I couldn't get through it.
Did you write it out?
I did.
Did you practice it?
Yes. Still didn't matter. This time, I said, I got to be better. My wife's telling me, you can't do this. She said, you know, when you got into this business, no one knew who you were. You're Bob Who. Now you're Bob Boo Who. You got to stop this. So I decided, okay, good. I made it. I made a real good. It was a good speech.
That's awesome.
And I got through it. I had my little, you know, potholes along the way, but I got through it, and I think I did a good job. So
good.
Everybody had fun. Thank you for asking.
One question we've gotten from people that watch and listen to both of us is, what is Bob's game day routine? So, 4:25 on Sunday, where will you be for the game, and how will you be watching? Go.
Okay, so... for me, normally Sundays start at 9 in the morning because we have an 11:30 pregame show.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what network. It doesn't matter what time of the game. We still do it live at 11:30. 1 o'clock games, we're on with that. Then we follow 2 hours of postgame. 4:25 game, afterwards we'll be on CW for 2 hours.
But what are you doing during, so the 1 o'clock game on Sunday?
Watching football, just like you.
What's the layout? What do you have?
Well, the layout is up. You've been to our studios, right?
Yeah, but our listeners haven't. I know, but they don't.
Okay, well, we have four monitors, and they're all with different games on. One's a Red Zone, one's a Steelers, whatever, and then the other two are whatever we want it to be.
Uh-huh.
So we watch those, log those. I'm a big logger, and I do it all old school. I have a tablet. I don't even use a computer. I like to write my stuff out just because it makes me feel like I'm learning more as I go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that, watch, and that's a big part of what we do, right? We have to watch games in order to do
it. So you're taking notes on the Steelers game every play?
Every play.
Time. This is what happened.
Yes.
A little editorial comment.
Whatever I could fit in at the time before the next snap. And I try to do that with other things. I love watching all these things. So that's what we do. And then after the game, like I said, go on, boom, immediately on CW. And this Sunday, we'll be on from 7:30 to 9. And then we have a 10 o'clock news, 10:30. And then we're doing the showdown live, which will be on
late. It's a marathon day.
Yeah. So I get home only about 2 in the morning. But that's it.
But you love it.
You love it too, right?
I do.
You're everywhere. Everywhere I look, I see Andrew Filippone. It's a compliment to you.
My move on Sunday will be I'll get in front of the TV around 9 or 10. I'll watch some of those pregame shows. Then I'll turn you on at 11:30. Then I'll watch
the NFL. Glad I
can still
turn you on at this age.
Then I'll watch the NFL today into the 1 o'clock games. And this is maybe going to surprise people. I can't do Red Zone. You know why? Because if I have the Red Zone on, I'm going to watch that and I'm going to lose track of the other. I know if there are multiple games on, I watch everything, but I retain nothing.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? Because it's like bam, bam, bam. I get like ADD where I'm, you know, going back and forth between games. So
the
only
reason the Red Zone is on for us is because we have to record it in case we miss things from other
teams. Highlight.
Right.
So I like to just dial in on one game. So on Sunday, I'll probably watch the Browns and Vikings game at 1, and then I'll watch, obviously, the Steelers and Packers after that.
And I like the Vikings to beat the Browns.
So do I.
Do you?
I'm with you on that.
Mr. FanDuel, I'm good.
Yeah. are you Are you pessimistic about the Steelers' chances on Sunday? And we can get to big picture in a second, I guess.
I'm pessimistic only because I don't see a quick fix. I think they'll play better.
On offense?
On offensive line more than anything. Yeah. I just think that it all starts there with them. And I knew it was going to be rough. I didn't think it would be quite this rough. I thought they would gradually grow into it, and they still will,
Who's the biggest disappointment to you up front?
Chukwuma Okorafor would be for me.
You know who's close behind that for
Kendrick
me?
Kendrick Green.
No. Dotson.
Ooh. Dotson. Well, Dotson.
You know why? Because with Green, I didn't think he should have started to begin with. I didn't think he earned it in training camp and in the preseason. I think they gave it to him by default because they didn't have a better option there. I don't think he
saw his performance last year, right, and it was pretty good.
But when Pouncey beat out Hartwig, he blew their socks off in the preseason. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen here.
No.
You know, I heard people like Richie that were at training camp that said Green's getting destroyed on almost every play. Now, it's against an awesome defensive line. I get that, but still. So, me personally, I would have went with a veteran to start the year like Finney or maybe even Hassan Howard.
They can still do that this week if they
so choose.
But
Tomlin's saying no changes.
I understand, but I think deep down, you can't let this guy, especially because it affects 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger.
Bob, third-round pick offensive linemen aren't supposed to start day one.
No, but neither was a fourth-round pick, and Dotson was a fourth-round pick last year, and he
played
very
well. No, I was
going
to say with Moore, he's been okay.
Oh, yeah. So
he hasn't killed him.
I mean, they got to get better. How they do it to me is the only way possible to me is still run the ball and do it early and often and don't go away from it so quickly. That's what I would do. You can't have 58 passes and 15 runs every single one. I don't want to hear this 19. He touched the ball a lot. It's got to be in the context of doing this because play action still works to me, and it has to be utilized in order to free up guys.
So I think because defenses aren't really concerned or scared of the Steelers beating them on deep balls, throwing the ball downfield, I think that means that there are guys that are in that box that are closer to the line of scrimmage. So the only way to combat that, in my opinion, is if you put guys that are blockers into the game to help that. And
like
I just don't
see Zach Gentry.
Right.
He should play ahead of Ebron. To me, I would even cut Ebron if it was possible. And they need
or
bodies so they won't
end.
Do that. But if you're going to do that, have two guys who are capable of blocking and helping.
But I just don't think they've shown no willingness.
What about Derek Watt, your favorite Steeler?
Yeah, Tito.
Why do you call him Tito? Just
it's like the Jackson 5. You know, there's Tito Jackson. He's like the one guy
that's
in the background.
All right.
So to me, I think if the defense's idea is we're going to take away the run, we're not going to let Najee Harris go off against us. If Ben Roethlisberger wants to beat us downfield, go right ahead. Then I think they need to, instead of saying, all right, we'll take what the defense gives us, let's dump the ball off and throw it 50 times. They got to put the personnel in the game to combat that. And outside of a play here or there, they don't, Bob. Because I don't think they want to take those wide receivers off the field. I think they look at it like, if we do this, we're feeding into what the defense wants us to do, and we're taking our best players off the field. We're benching out Chase Claypool for Zach Gentry. And I just don't think they want to do that.
But they may not want to do it, but they may have to do it to start.
Your run game is not going to take off unless you start to do stuff like what you're saying. And I agree with you on that.
Because I don't know what else you do. You can't keep doing this formula. It's never going to work. They know that. I think Green Bay's better defensively than some people think.
You know what I would do? I would start the game like the one in Tennessee last year where they went in there and upset the Titans.
Do you remember that first drive?
Start in the no huddle.
Right.
That doesn't mean you have to go fast, but get to the line of scrimmage, let Ben look around, let him call a play, let him get comfortable that way. That's the last time they really started a game fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the no huddles look better. I don't get all this. We had 100 no huddle plays and now we only have 12. Does that make any sense to you?
No, no huddle is where they're effective. I would be using it far more often than they would.
How did it go from 100 plays to 12, Bob?
It can't. It didn't. I don't believe
Ben says that, and Canada doesn't refute it.
Well, then they're not doing the right thing, if that's the case. If they're not looking at their situation and realizing that you could be better with this no huddle,
right,
then they're not doing
it. So my point is, instead of starting with the run and jamming your head against the wall and then going no huddle because you're down double digits in the second half, why not start the game with a no huddle, try to get a lead, and then run the ball late to preserve the lead? That's what I would try to do.
I agree with that, and because your first quarters have been as bad as you can possibly imagine for the last 10 games. And 0 points, 0 points. That's ridiculous.
Because you're working on it all week in practice.
I mean, it doesn't add up.
In theory, your best plays.
So I think they have to do something. I would expect, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Hassenauer plays in this game and starts. And I think they need some.
I'm happy you said that. That was my prediction on Tuesday too.
Was it? Yeah. Okay. Well, I just think he's a guy who can at least calm things down in there.
Right.
You know, and they could say Green's knee is not responding. We're going to go with a veteran. And the veteran played a lot last year or year before, whatever he did. So I think he can be adequate there, and I think he may settle things down a little bit until they get moving. But I don't expect this to be a win, but I do expect it to be a closer game.
Well, Roethlisberger doesn't trust the offensive line right now, and I think that makes it even harder. If he, in a perfect situation, I think even if the line was good, Ben would still have limitations at this age. But I agree with most of the outside noise that says, you know, he's got happy feet and he's getting rid of the ball in certain situations sooner than he should because he just thinks he's going to get destroyed and killed on every play.
And self-preservation is very big, especially when you're older. You need to, you know, he's
But I don't know how you coach that out of him.
I don't know either.
You know, once it gets in a guy's head.
Run game is the only way to me. You start it there, you let it hopefully develop. The guy's good enough. Najee Harris, we saw, even though those two, I understand the holding calls, you know, were legit. And they affected the play. But he can show you what he can do in those kind of things. But I would go to him more just to control some rhythm a little bit early. But I do it through a no huddle. I would start that way. I may use that thing much more than people think in and out of that game.
And if you run out of gas, so be it. At least you tried it and you went all out and you lost.
You can't start the same way. If they have 0 points on Sunday, they're going to lose in the first quarter, I mean. They can't because Aaron Rodgers is going to get his share. And so you better make sure you take it away from him as best you can.
Are you back to believing that Rodgers cares again? Or
I don't know what I think. I know you're really heavy on Rodgers making a play to get him here.
Well,
a lot of teams.
Because he made a play for himself to come here.
I know. That Pittsburgh bad stuff.
It wasn't just that. He went on and on about Tomlin and the defense, too, and never mentioned Ben. That, to me, if he's just talking about the whole Steelers organization, how much respect he has for them, you got to throw Roethlisberger's name in there. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion.
So you think it was a deliberate attempt
Let me ask you this question. Say what you will about Rodgers. Is he a smart guy or not?
Yeah, I think he is.
Very bright.
You wouldn't be a host of Jeopardy if you weren't. So, therefore, yes. So, but here's the thing. In order to get him, it would take a major trade.
I think it would be less than you think, though.
I think it would be more than you think.
Really?
Yes, I think it would be. And the other thing is they need a lot of things to happen here. You've said long and often – that it would be better for this team to get a high draft pick and go from there. If that kind of trends that in that direction,
yep.
That's a good. You don't want to give up number one picks. And I'm not so convinced that Aaron Rodgers, like Ben Roethlisberger, may be going through his father time, mother, whatever you want to say, mother nature, father time. Sooner or later, there's a breakdown in your body. Sooner or later, you're not as good as you once were, with the exception of Brady. I don't know if Rodgers,
You know, Ben is
2 years from now, who knows what he's going to be
Ben
like.
Is 1 year older than Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Plays a totally different kind of game, I think. You know, he can still get out.
Well, that's why when Hayden said this week, Rodgers is my favorite quarterback, no disrespect to Ben, but I think he's better. I think he says that knowing that these two guys aren't even comparable anymore. Like, he doesn't even think he's going to create controversy by saying Rodgers is better than Roethlisberger. I agree with him on that.
I do, too.
You know,
there is no controversy there. I think that's true.
So that's why he was comfortable making a comment like that. No Penguin would ever say, I think Connor McDavid's better than Sidney Crosby because those two guys are on similar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah,
they would never do that.
No, but I think if you did it, if you heard it from someone on the Penguins, you would at least have to understand.
I mean, if a left tackle said.
I think Sidney Crosby would say that. Sidney Crosby's a different kind of player than McDavid. But I think if you say who's more talented, who's a better player, right, it has to be him.
I just think if Aaron Rodgers and Ben are only separated by a year, in terms of where they're at in their career, I think there's a big difference. Because Rodgers hasn't gotten hit as much as Ben.
He hasn't.
And he had those 3 years.
He
sat in a garage. You pulled the car off the lot. You bought it. And then you just parked it in the garage for 3 years. You didn't drive it in the snow one time, Bob.
And that's another reason why the Steelers' offseason was a little questionable in that they did not address an offensive line as maybe they should have. I know they had other needs. They were trying to fill different things. But once they found out DeCastro, Trey Turner was their pick. Trey Turner has a history, a good one, but I don't know.
Well, he was still out there in June for a reason.
I know. There are a lot of guys who can say that. But I'm talking about there had to be, and while they drafted Kendrick Green, fine. While they drafted Dan Moore, fine. They still needed some more help. They need depth. You know that. Over 17 games, you're going to need it. And they didn't adequately
I don't know why, other than, hey, they thought they were in a cap hell situation, although as it turned out they weren't, because they restructured a bunch of guys and they ended up having a lot of cap space, even with the cap staying flat or going down. I don't understand. No one has adequately explained to me why the offensive linemen they signed in free agency were Joe Haig and Rashad Coward. Why right. they thought, let's just bring in guys that are borderline backups.
Exactly. That's like the Pirates starters. Going off and just bringing in some jabroni here just because
Tyler
they have
Anderson
a need.
Right.
And so you give a 2-year a very low cost. And, but, you know,
and,
you get what
Trevor
you pay for.
Cahill.
You get what you pay for yeah. in all sports.
If Bob, you're they have shelled out less money on their offensive line than any team in the NFL. So when you look at it from that perspective, it makes sense that they've got the worst one.
And while they drafted guys who they believe in long term, the question always going to be, how would this season start with them in starting in prominent roles? And I don't think their intention was to have Dan Moore start.
No, it was Chooks to be the left tackle.
It was Banner and Chooks. And
but how did Chooks – he got beat out by Banner in training camp last year. Why did they expect that this year was going to be any different? I can't
again,
figure that one out. Can you?
If they look at practice and see things that none of us really see, I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Well, they watched practice last year and said Banner was better.
Right, but they also thought he was better than any other option potentially that they had on the roster to start at left tackle. So, again, that's their judgment at play. And then they end up going to Dan Moore. While they addressed it in terms of drafting players, they didn't draft high-end players, which meant they needed to go out and sign players who could complement, if not add to, if necessary, that offensive line. And they didn't. And now, what do you got? You don't have a lot left. And it's there's like no short-term fix here. They have to play these guys and expect them to get better.
It's like they figured a 39-year-old quarterback and a rookie running back were going to make the line better.
Having said that, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they won in Green Bay. I'm not saying they will. But the way the NFL is, when you least expect it, some ridiculous outcome has. Did you have Buffalo win, loss Raiders, loss Bengals?
Nope.
No. Do you know anyone who did?
No. Nope.
No. And the reason is, it's a very evenly matched, NFL. And they have their talented guys on every team. And I didn't think Carr was going to be as good as he was. He's been, to me right now, one of the MVP candidates.
See, that's
in the
one of the things about the Ben offensive line excuse that I don't really fully buy into, because all we talked about with the Raiders and Bengals were how their offensive lines were so bad, and both of those guys made deep throws downfield to beat the Steelers.
They did.
Carr 60 yards to Ruggs and Chase right before the end of the half, Burrow to Chase right before the end of the half. And on paper, we made fun of the Bengals' offensive line and said, how are the Raiders going to block the Steelers 2 weeks
ago? Well, of course, it helps that there's no Watt and Highsmith, and sure. You can make that true. A little easier. But you're right. I mean, those lines are doing what they got to do. And the Steelers over the years have had bad offensive line. Not bad, but not big names on offensive lines.
Well,
and they've come
Ben was
together.
Mobile.
Right. That's the thing. The extension of play is no longer there. And that's the problem. And that's why they got to get more creative and try to figure out a way to make it. Ben Roethlisberger needs to touch the ball every time, but he doesn't have to throw it every time. This pass-run ridiculous ratio is out of control now. It has been for the last 9 games.
What will be the in-the-middle-of-the-game meal for Bob? It's about 6 o'clock. What is Bob going to eat during the Steelers and Packers?
I'm surprised
you
haven't asked me what I'm going to drink, because that could be – no, I'm just kidding.
Straight booze.
That may be after the game. After we take calls on the sports call and then do the show tonight, that might be afterwards. In fact, that's your go-to at the end. The old granddad? I like food. My wife will pack something.
I like food, yeah.
My wife will pack something. Ditto. She always does, and so I don't have to
what
go
do you
anywhere.
Mean?
She makes food for me.
So she packs you with a breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Everything, yeah. She takes care of it the night before.
A snack?
No, I have snacks. I got lots of snacks. That's my
potato
problem.
Chips and
potato
peanuts.
Chips. If you go to my desk right now, you'll see a bunch of bags of potato chips, which I play at that game. It's almost like the Animal House. Do it, don't do it, don't, angel, devil. Yeah. And I fight that tug of war a lot and lose.
I like a scotch, a bourbon, or an old-fashioned after watching football to wind down.
Yeah, old fashions are pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a wild turkey?
Shot?
No. Yeah. Drink.
I've had the wild turkey whiskey.
Yeah, whiskey. But
drinking it straight?
Yes.
You do?
I did. My tolerance for this is not what it used to be. I could say that about a lot of things, but that's, you know what I mean? There's another drink you should try. If you like old grand, just we're getting way off the tangent here. French Connection. My friend Tom Grealish.
Make up the drink, or is it a?
It comes with a heated under. There's a fire underneath of it, and it's really a. It has all sorts of things.
But how am I going to make that myself?
You're not. You're going to have to go to a bar and ask them for it. The French Connection.
So
just
if I go to
Gilbert Perreault or Rene Martin.
So if I go
Richard
to any,
Martin
if I go to any
Rene Robert,
nicer high end bar in Pittsburgh and say, "Make me a French Connection."
French
they're going to know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
All right.
Do it.
Okay, Bob. We'll do it again next week.
One final thing. You got to tell me who you like with Tampa, because I like New England with the points. I may like New England to win the whole thing.
I think the Patriots win.
So you are picking New England. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. I think the Bucs defense is in a state of disarray right now. And I think Belichick will keep the ball away from Brady. I think they're going to win the time of possession and win the game that
way. They're going to have to.
I think Damian Harris will be the star of the game.
There you go.
All right, Bob. We'll do it again next week, brother.
Appreciate it, Pony.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Pomp and Pony Podcast, powered by Bowser Chevrolet. Join us each week for another Pomp and Pony Podcast.